Well, good evening. It's good to be back again. Always good to be with God's people on a Sunday night. And praise the Lord for that opportunity to minister the Word. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 1 down through the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Paul says, "Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, that God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Father, we're thankful tonight for your word, the blessed scripture. We're thankful that you've given us the word of God in the English language. We think of those who paid a price for that to happen. And we're thankful for that, that God, you have allowed us to have the word. And I pray that we would be Bible people. We would be committed to reading and studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'll minister to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, and I pray if there's someone here tonight has never received the Lord Jesus, that tonight they might make that decision, that choice of the will, and that commitment to the truth of the gospel, and trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you administer to the hearts of each one of us tonight. And may we understand that you're the one who opens doors in our life, and you're the one that allows us to be your servants and to have ministry. Lord, I pray you'll bless our time, just direct in my thoughts, and give me clarity, and I pray for each one of us might be open to the ministry and work of the Spirit tonight. We'll ask it in Christ's name, amen. You know, as a child, one of the things that my parents taught me was the importance of a closed door. If a door was closed, you didn't just walk in and assume that you had the right to do that. On the other hand, if it was an open door, you could usually enter and enjoy the person that maybe was on the other side. I was a student at Maranatha Baptist Bible College. It's Maranatha University today, but it was Maranatha Baptist Bible College back in the first 2 years of the school when I was a student there. And I remember the office of Dr. Cederholm, the founding person of the school. And his office, if you've ever been there, kind of the main hall of Old Main, his office was right at the head of that hall. And if you were walking down that way, you could look in. His desk was right in the middle of the office. And if the door was open and he was in there, he'd be sitting at his desk. And, you know, it was interesting because he had chosen not to put himself off in an office where a secretary controlled access to the student body, but where it was actually an open door. And, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity because you may be walking down, you could stop by and you could ask a question, you could get a word of advice, or you could just say hi. But that open door gave a real wonderful message to me as a student. When I think of the work of Christ, you know, God is the one who opens doors of ministry. And he's the one that makes opportunities for us to serve him and see real biblical fruit. Maybe a coworker asks a question. And that question opens a door for you to be able to speak about spiritual matters and maybe even give a testimony. And I think back of some opportunities where that happened in my life. or a church ministry is impacted. Maybe a church has a season of prayer and outreach, and that time results in a number of people coming to know Christ as Savior. Or for that matter, a country once closed to the entrance of missionaries and the preaching of the gospel changes its policy and it opens the door for ministry in that country. God is the one who opens doors of ministry. We think about that. The Apostle Paul was certainly sensitive to God's timing and direction in his life. If you read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16 specifically, Paul was in Galatia and he was ministering there and he wanted to go into Asia and the Holy Spirit closed the door for him going into Asia. And that's included, by the way, Ephesus was in Asia, Asia Minor, as it was known at that time. Later in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, Apollos made a brief visit there to the city of Ephesus. We don't know how long he was there, but it seems like it was fairly brief. And then later, God brought Apollos to Ephesus, and you read that in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. And it's interesting, Apollos was a little bit deficient in his message. He didn't have the full gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection. If you remember that Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, who were Paul's co-workers in tent-making, also were believers, they instructed him about the full content of the gospel. And because of that, Apollos had a real ministry there. It says he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. It was only after all of these stages of preparation that God led Paul to return to Ephesus to begin a long-term ministry in that city. And he spent almost 3 years there evangelizing and discipling believers. While writing to believers in Corinth here, in this passage, Paul here writes to the Corinthian believers. And he's talking about their giving to minister to the Jews in Judea who were going through a time of persecution. And so he was encouraging them to take a collection and send that collection on to them. And he expressed the fact that he was going to come. In fact, notice in verse 3, he said, "When I come," that would suggest to me that he's planning to come. In verse 5, he makes a similar statement. He said, "Now I will come." So Paul makes it very clear in the way, I guess we would say in the form of a promise here, that he would come. However, he said, "I'm going to come, but I'm not going to come right now." Because he said, "I have an opportunity right here in Ephesus that I can't leave and pass up right now." And so Paul was obviously cognizant of that important thing. Now, how important are open doors in your ministry? Have you ever tried to get something done for the Lord when the door was closed? Maybe you've talked to somebody and they just weren't interested. In fact, maybe they were even downright rude and wouldn't even listen to what you had to say. Maybe you gave them a track and they threw it on the ground. Or whatever response might have happened, certainly rejection there is a closed door. And so obviously we're going to have to wait for God to open the door. Only God can create the necessary openings at the right time and the right person and the right circumstances to make that work for him, that witness, that service for Christ happen. So what are the conditions here which Paul found in Ephesus which were working for him at this point? Let's go down to verse 9. Paul makes an interesting statement. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." A door. An open door. Now that suggests, in my mind, an opportunity to step through, an opportunity to do something. And it's interesting here, Barnes in his notes on this passage says, it was an opportunity for usefulness, for God to use Paul and his ministry there in Ephesus. Previously, remember, the door had been closed. The Holy Spirit had said, "I don't want you to go there now." And so Paul didn't. Paul obeyed the leadership of the Spirit, but now the door was open. In fact, the verse here, or the verb here, he says the door is opened. It's a present tense verb. So he's talking about a door that's open and it's staying open. It's continuing to be open. So he's saying here, now the Feast of Pentecost is mentioned here. He says here, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Of course, Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, hence the word 50, penta, comes from that base. And that had been a fruitful time for Paul's ministry there, and so he was continuing to do his work there in Ephesus. He also says here, it's a not just a door, but he says it's a great door. And it's interesting, the Greek word there is the word megas. We get our word mega from that. Sometimes we talk about something that's really big. We call it mega, a mega sale or a mega store or something like that has come over into our language in that particular way. But it just means something big, like Barney Fife would say, big, 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 really big. Well, as we understand here, he says there's a great door. And he said this door here is so open, we have to take advantage of it. It's interesting, he used another word here, though. He says, a great door and effectual. So what does that mean? Well, it's interestingly, this is the word that we use having to do with energy. We get our word energy actually from the Greek verb here, or the Greek word here that's used for energes here. And he's talking about maybe an effective use of energy, a time and effort and so forth. Use the word here, a fruitful outcome. He said we're experiencing an enterprise zone here, if you want to say it, for ministry. And God is working, and I'm not going to leave it. You know, Paul's present situation here is an unprecedented opportunity for ministry. He says there's a great door and effectual is open unto me. It kind of reminds me of the two salesmen I heard about. They went to a primitive country. They were shoe salesmen. They went to a primitive country where nobody wore shoes. The one salesman called the company back and said, no use in me going there. There's nobody wearing shoes. The other salesman said, send all the shoes you got. Everybody's a customer. You know, when it comes to the gospel, everybody's a customer, at least potentially. And you think about the fact, we live in a secular country and a pagan world today. Now, I know some people talk about good old Christian America, but that is a thing of the past. And the reality is, our nation and the world continue to slide down that slippery slope into hell. And so, as we think about that, we think about the opportunity, the open door. Sure, not every person that you see, talk to, or have an opportunity, or think you have an opportunity to witness to, is going to be an open door. But we need to be faithful and commit ourselves to be available to use God to open that door. I experienced that myself several years ago. In 1997, I had the opportunity to go to Russia. And while I was there for 3 weeks. We went with a ministry team there. We met with 20 men. A few were pastors. Some were deacons. Some were just men, church members. They were all saved men. And we met with them, and we had a school. We actually taught them a Bible doctrine. But we did something else interesting. We took their van. We went to the Bible bookstore in Moscow. And we bought 1,000 New Testaments. We bought a couple of hundred whole Bibles. And we went out to a park in Moscow and handed out Bibles. Now, if you just go back in time, some of you may remember this. Bob Jones University did a movie called The Printing. And if I remember back maybe 35 years ago, there was a man, I think his name was called Brother Andrew, and his ministry was smuggling Bibles into the Russia and the Soviet Union. My brother-in-law went to Russia as a student, and he took his trench coat and put a bunch of pockets and took Bibles into Russia when he went there to hand out to people. Because at that point, that country was closed to the Word of God. But when I had a chance to go, I actually went twice. I went in 1997 and again in 2003. And it was a whole different story. I'm not saying it was perfect, but at least The Bible was free to go in there and to be able to be handed out. And, of course, the Christians were not meeting out in the woods hiding. They were meeting in a building just like this. In fact, Sunday morning, we had our service there, a three-hour service, and there were probably 300 people there in that service. I say three-hour service because there were three messages, including the Lord's Supper there at that service. So, you know, obviously God opens doors. And that, I could say with Paul here, that was a great and effectual door of ministry in Russia. Paul's saying in Ephesus, there's this great door, great opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of it. Now notice what else he says here, though. He says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I think it's important to note what Paul said, or maybe we could say what he didn't say. He didn't say, but as a great door and effectual is open to me, but there are many adversaries. He used the word and very specifically here. I think what Paul was saying here, yes, we have an unprecedented opportunity, and we also have a unique challenge with surmountable obstacles. Because Paul was seeing success in the city of Ephesus. He was seeing people getting saved. He was seeing a church being established and the work going forward. And so I think it's important to use the word and here in this statement. I believe he saw the opportunity as a positive one with surmountable challenges. Now, what are the nature of these challenges? Well, of course, we've always got to deal with the big three, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Wherever we go, we've got that to deal with. And Paul had those as well. But he also had some other things. Let's look at the book of Acts for a moment. Look at the 19th chapter. And there, Paul ran into what we would call Jewish occultism. Notice it says there in verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them that had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. So here they're talking about Jesus and Paul, and these are Jewish exorcists. And notice that they said, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Well, obviously, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Well, they got themselves in trouble, didn't they? But you see, that's what Paul's dealing with, occultism. I don't know about you, but I'd not be interested in being in that situation. And then a little further over in this chapter, Paul is dealing with, in the city of Ephesus, the city of Ephesus had adopted Diana, or Artemis, as she was also known, which was an immoral and ungodly idol. And notice down in verse 35, and when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Now, we know that the worship of Diana included prostitution and all kinds of ungodly wickedness. And so, not only is it idolatry, but also the immorality that goes along with that. Over in chapter 20, in verse 19, Paul says this, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. And that's in Ephesus. He's talking to the Ephesian elders here. So I think it's important to see here that Paul makes it clear here that things were a challenge in this city of Ephesus. And it was not an easy place to reach people with the gospel. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, 32, he said, I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus. Now, I'm not sure what that means. I don't think Paul went into the Colosseum like a gladiator. I think he's talking about people there when he talks about beasts, but he is talking about opposition to the gospel. He's talking about the challenges of preaching the gospel. Now, let's balance those challenges in light of the open door. How could Paul then say this is a great effectual open door? How could he say that? Well, Christ made it clear that the same people that hated him would hate us. The same people that hated him would oppose the work of God. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." In other words, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when people react negatively to your witness, react negatively to your commitment to serve the Lord and do his will in your life. Opposition to the gospel message is normal. But the open door was a reason to stay rather than to leave. Paul was seeing success. Paul was seeing the ministry go forward. In light of the opposition, the local work needed his support. It needed workers who were committed to the reaching of that city. And certainly, it was a source of encouragement, not discouragement, because God was working there. And so Paul could say, listen, the opportunity is there. And the outcome is noted. Notice in Acts 19, verse 8 through verse 10, he says here, "And he went into the synagogue," again in Ephesus, "and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." Of course, the Jews didn't all approve of that. "And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Paul said the whole province, the whole area was saturated with the preaching and ministry of the gospel. You see why Paul says there's a great door open here? Because there was. And we realize there that there is going to be opposition. Now, it's very likely that the seven churches of Asia mentioned in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, if you remember the seven churches, one of those is Ephesus. It's very likely that all seven were started during that period of time because they're all in the same area there with Ephesus. And so it's very possible during that three-year period that Paul saw seven churches planted during that period of time. I would say that is success. I would say that is an open door, and I would say that God was obviously working there. Of course, sometimes the success is not so big, not so obvious, not so clear to see. Reminds me of a story I read in the Daily Bread booklet a number of years ago. An elderly preacher was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before the service. Now, let me just say something here. I pastored for 30 years. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. If you've got something to say to your pastor, and particularly if it's negative, you take him out on Tuesday and buy his lunch, and then you can unload on him all you want. But don't do it on Sunday morning before he's going to preach. I got in the habit for myself, after I did Sunday school, I would go to my office and lock the door because I was not going to be confronted. It happened 2 or 3 times, and I said, I'm not going to deal with this because I need to be my mind clear and ready to go in there and preach the word on Sunday morning. So anyway, this preacher is confronted by his deacon here, and the deacon said, you know, there's something wrong with your preaching and your work. There's only been one person added to the church in the whole year, and he's just a boy. The pastor began, his eyes began to tear up, and he said, I feel it. He said, I know. He said, I've tried to be faithful, tried to do my duty. As he got up to preach, he preached his message, and he thought, you know, maybe I should just resign. Well, he didn't. After the service, that young boy that had been one of the Lord and brought into the church came to him and he said, Pastor, do you think if I worked hard that maybe got an education, that maybe I could become a preacher or maybe a missionary? Immediately, the pastor's eyes once again teared up and he said, now I see what God is doing here. Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to their homes. He had added many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ. reaching even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. His name was Robert Moffat. He was that same boy on that Sunday morning in that Scottish church. You see, God is the one who takes care of the results. God is the one who opens the door. God is the one who works out the circumstances of fruit bearing in our lives. Yes, Paul said, there's a great door that's open unto me. And he said, there are many adversaries. Paul wasn't being critical at that point. Paul was simply trying to put things in perspective so that it would be true to see what had happened and what was the truth. You know, we think about the work of Christ as an opportunity for you and I to be used as his servants, to be available and to be faithful, and then to ask God to use us. It may just be a boy or a girl that is the person that you have the privilege of leading to Christ or discipling. It may be an opportunity, maybe a neighbor or a friend or a coworker, someone that you have an opportunity to make contact with. You may hand out a tract and that person, you may never know till you get in heaven that that tract you handed out to someone was the means by which they or someone read and came to Christ. You never know. You never know that but one of your children that you have led to the Lord, discipled, and brought to church faithfully would grow up to be the D.L. Moody, to be the Robert Moffat, to be the faithful servant of Christ, and see God's work be used through them. You see, God is the one that opens doors. And what we need to do is we need to be praying that God would open the door, and then we need to be willing to step through that door and let God use us to be an instrument. Paul said, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. But that did not stop Paul from a fruitful ministry in Ephesus. Father, we're thankful for your word. Thank you for reminding us that you're the one who opens doors. And I pray that this church would find an open door of ministry in this community, in this area, and that through their evangelism outreach, through their missionary program, through the lives of these faithful believers here at Bible Baptist Church, that you would allow them to be fruitful and be instruments that you can use for ministry. Thank you, God, for how you're working in our hearts. And Lord, I pray today, again, if there's someone here who's never made that decision to trust Christ, that decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make that decision tonight. And I pray for us as believers that we would ask God to help us this week to find that open door that you might have in our life, and to step through it and use that opportunity to serve you. Realizing, Lord, that there may be some obstacles. There may be some challenges. There may be some difficulties. But God, you're greater than any difficulty that we would ever face. Help us to be faithful in that way. God bless us tonight as we go, and I pray that you would just continue to work in our hearts. Remind us of this truth as we go in Jesus' name. Amen.